Well, welcome. Some of you guys, maybe first time or you've been here several times, we're always glad to have you. My name's Drew Warner, and I'm one of the pastors of the church, and Ray, who opened it up, he's the other pastor, and kind of tag teaming. And then basically for the regulars, you're pretty much all volunteers. You're all doing something. So we're grateful for all of you guys. And thank you, Alex, for leading us in music this morning. Our service, we're going to try and be out of here. We will be out of here by 11 or maybe a little bit after 11. There's a cornhole tournament. There's a league that comes in after us every Sunday, but they're doing an all-day tournament today, and their entry fee is Toys for Tots. So they're trying to do something good and have fun in the warehouse playing cornhole. So we want to get out of here so that they can come in. And then we've got Hymns and Hops, Christmas Hymns and Hops, later this evening. And we'll tell you more about that. So we'll be back, but should be a good day. So we're going to try and condense our service down to about an hour. We cut out the sharing time. Normally we share good news and Bible verses, but we're going to move forward. And if there's time at the end, we'll come back to that. Last week, it's Christmas, so it's December. Last week we started off kind of a little three-week mini-series on Christmas perspectives, and Ray preached on Mary. What was Mary's perspective? And it was great. And so just a recap, the four encouraging things in the story and testimony of Mary was that we can all be used of God. We can trust God in all things. We can come to God with questions. And we choose to worship God regardless of our circumstances. And so this morning, we're going to view Christmas through the experience and through the perspective of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. So that's where we're going. And I think next week I haven't settled on it, but I think we're going to look at it through the lens of Herod. So that should be interesting. But as I was thinking about this morning, let's see, time, 10:25. Let me look at my notes and see where we are here. All right, we're good. We're good so far. In the midst of the Christmas season, what's a word that you would describe the season? What comes to your mind? Joy. What else? Holy. Good. What else? Any other words? There are no right or wrong. Just what? And it can change from week to week or day to day. You know, any words come that describe the Christmas season? Hope. What else? Tradition. Yeah. Community. Giving. Yeah. All great words. I'll tell you the word that I picked this past week, overwhelmed, stressed, overwhelmed, and it hit a high point in the middle of the week. Oh my goodness, can you guys relate to that? It's mostly about, Laura's like, you know, we've been trying to talk about Christmas gifts and what we're getting for people and all since October, and I can't nail you down. Well, now we're in it, and I'm like, I have no idea what we're getting people. And we got to get stuff in the mail, and you know, and so I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then we, you know, all three cars were in the shop this past week, and our gas stove went out last week, and so all these bills are mounting up, and so you have this balance, you know, a decrease in finances while there's an increase of expectation. I'm like, oh my goodness, I totally felt overwhelmed on Wednesday, and I share that to start off because as I was reflecting on Joseph and his story, I think there's a lot of his story that he probably experienced the same thing. And we're going to look at that. A lot of times we don't look at Joseph all that much. It's all really about Mary and Jesus and the wise men and the shepherds and everybody else. And Joseph is kind of in the background. And we don't hear much about Joseph at all. I don't hear anything, really, after the point of Jesus, them going to Passover or celebrate Passover, and they're coming home, and then they realize halfway home that Jesus isn't with them, and they go back. And so that's the last time that we hear of Joseph in the Bible. And we think it's probably because he probably passed away and died, probably during Jesus' formative years, before Jesus' ministry starts. So that's what they think. But Joseph is mentioned early on, and so we're going to talk about him this morning. But to finish my story, in the midst of being overwhelmed, by God's grace, I've gotten into a good habit of starting the day off with prayer, reading Bible in 1 year, and then, you know, my desire is that my day would flow through a lens of God's grace. And a lens of the gospel. But this particular day, I didn't. And I didn't get into it until after lunchtime. And I felt that. And so when I opened it up to read Bible in 1 year, and Laura commented on that day, but the topic, the title was desperation. And I thought, well, that's perfect, because that's what I'm feeling right now. I was feeling desperation. And as I read the devotional, I thought, you know, it is such a great comfort than when we are feeling overwhelmed and when we are feeling desperate, that God meets us with his peace and he meets us with his grace and he meets us in the moment. And it was just another one of those examples where God met me in this moment. And he was so good. And all the stuff that I was worried about, all the things that I was being overwhelmed with, I was able to sort of recenter, refocus, gain a different perspective. And God brought me out of that. But it's an encouragement to know that God's with us when we're overwhelmed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling desperate, God's with you. You may not feel it, but he's with you. And Joseph experienced that too. So we're going to see that as we get into this story. The text that I'm going to use, I think it may have been the same text that Ray used last week, but it'll be a little different because we're going to look at it through the lens of Joseph. And it doesn't hurt to retell the Christmas story. So I'll go ahead and read the text and then get into the teaching. So it's Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And the text reads as this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I've underlined some of these things that apply specifically to Joseph that we're going to be talking about. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he, Joseph, gave him the name Jesus. So that's our text. I'm interested in names. Some of you guys I know are interested in names too, but I was curious, what does Joseph's name mean, if there's any special significance? It's a Hebrew word, and it's basically Yosef. And it means he increases, God will give, God will provide. That's what Joseph's name means. And I thought, well, while I'm looking up Joseph's name, I might as well look up Mary's name. And there's a connection between her name and Miriam, who was Moses' sister, and her name means, looks like it may have come from the root meaning beloved. But it's also funny, there were other commentaries that said, or it could come from a word meaning bitter or rebellious, because it's a reference to Miriam's life as a slave in Egypt. So those are two very different meanings. So either beloved or bitter. And maybe sometimes she was beloved and sometimes she was bitter. But Joseph's name means he increases, God will provide. I also looked at, and this was interesting, in the genealogical record in Matthew 1, it says this. And so it goes all the way down. There are 42, lines, I guess, from Abraham to Joseph, 42 generations. And as it gets to Joseph, it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So Joseph's father was named Jacob. And that reminded me of, I don't think I knew that. I went back to Genesis, when you think about the other Joseph in the Bible, who really was seen very much so as a savior, a redeemer, so to speak, for Israel, when his brothers sold him into slavery and he was there, and famine hit the whole land, and they all flooded to Egypt, and they didn't realize that their brother Joseph was second in command over all of Egypt, and he opened up all of the floodgates of food and provision and everything to keep them alive. And that Joseph's name, his father's name was Jacob as well. So I thought, well, it's interesting that Joseph's dad was named Jacob, and they knew that the Messiah was promised to come through the line of Judah. But Jacob didn't name his son Judah. He didn't name him any of the other 12 tribes of Israel. He named him Joseph because Joseph was seen as a redeemer, most likely. And so I thought about that connection. So in the Old Testament, Joseph was really sort of a provider, a redeemer in a physical sense of food. In the New Testament, Joseph becomes a provider of redemption and provision in a spiritual sense. His son Jesus, Yeshua, we talked about a week or two ago, is the redeemer to come save his people from their sins. So there's a connection there, the Old Testament and the New Testament in their names. So the line of Judah, okay? A lot of you may be aware of this, but if you think your family is messed up, Jesus' family is way more messed up. The genealogy of Judah starts off with Judah sleeping with his daughter-in-law because he thinks she's a prostitute. And that's the line of Jesus. That's how it gets kickstarted. And then David flows from that line. And David basically has one of his best friends murdered so that he could sleep with his wife and then married his wife. And that's where Solomon came from. And so on and on, all the way through, there's just mess in Jesus' genealogical record. And then, and that's intentional. Why is that? So that we can relate to the mess. If you think your family's a mess, Jesus' genealogical family is way more messed up than any of ours. But then it comes to Joseph, okay? And he finds out from his fiancée, Mary, that she's pregnant, and she tells him, well, an angel visited me and told me that I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking Joseph was probably going, great, this is normal. Our family's so messed up. Now she's telling me that an angel visited her. She's sleeping with somebody else. And Joseph is beside himself, and I can imagine how probably overwhelmed he was feeling in that moment. He had no evidence. The angel appeared to her, but not him. So he didn't know what to do. But he had to wrestle with that news, and I don't know what the period of time was, but an angel came and visited him. Thank goodness. And that brought him great comfort, and he knew that this was truly of God. So in the midst of his being overwhelmed, in the midst of his probably feeling desperate, in the midst of his feeling like this whole thing is breaking loose, this marriage that we were looking forward to is not going to happen, now an angel comes. God meets him and comforts him in the midst of their mess. So that's where we are in the story. There are a couple of things to notice about Joseph. So we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. We'll talk about sort of consequences to his behavior to go ahead and decide to marry Mary, and then God's faithfulness, and then some application, and we'll be done. So a couple things about Joseph. The first is that he really was a nobody from nowhere. He was a blue-collar guy from a blue-collar town. When God picked Joseph, and Ray talked last week, when he chose to use Mary, he wasn't looking for the cream of the crop. He was looking just plain, ordinary people who were faithful, but plain, ordinary people. And one of the things Ray talked about last week is the encouragement from that is that God can use any of us. None of us are outside of the purview of God using us. In fact, it's usually the ones that are way off to the side who would say, there's no way that God could ever do anything with me because of who I am. My family's so messed up. I'm so messed up. You know, I don't even know what I'm doing. And God's like, no, you're exactly the kind that I use, that I want to use. Because when you're weak, everybody sees that God is strong. It's in our weakness that he's strong. So the scripture there is, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. That's from Luke 2. It tells us that Joseph was from Nazareth. So he really was just a plain old regular guy, blue-collar worker, a carpenter from Nazareth. The second thing that we see about Joseph is that he was faithful to the law. So even though he was a blue-collar guy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're white-collar or blue-collar. Either we're going to be submitted to God and submitted to his will and to his work, or we're not. And Joseph was. For whatever reason, Joseph was. Verse 19 of our text from Matthew 1 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. So, let's see. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And it says, but because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he was faithful to the law, and he had in his mind to divorce her. That was the law. That was the Jewish law. When there was adultery, infidelity, and in the Old Testament, she would be stoned. But he didn't want to expose her because he didn't want those things to happen to her. But he was faithful. Luke 2, verse 41 says that every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. So he was faithful. He did all the right things. He followed the law. He followed God in the way that he raised his kids and operated his family. And so I'll comment on this, that even though it's God's grace that gets poured out on us, God, he doesn't choose us based on our good works or bad works. He sets his love on us because he sets his love on us. But John 14, 15, and all throughout Scripture, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So he's looking, Joseph has a heart for God. He's faithful to the law. He's responding to God. He's responding to God's love. That's why he's faithful. The third thing we see about Joseph is that he loved and cared for Mary. And I just sort of talked about that. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. And a lot of times in that culture, and even today in culture, there is a male dominance that it's all about just forcing the issue, forcing your way. Joseph was not like that. He loved Mary. They were pledged to be married, so it was most likely an arranged marriage. But he loved her, and he cared for her. And so because of that, and I mentioned in the verse just a minute ago, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in his mind to divorce her quietly, and that's what he should have done according to the law, according to the religious law, right? So he loved and cared for Mary. We see that. He was a nobody from nowhere. He was faithful to the law. He loved and cared for Mary, and he was faithful to God. So when the angel appeared to him, in verse 24, it says, Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He did what was asked him to do. The angel came to him, and he said, okay, well, good. And that probably was a good confirmation to him that this really is of the Lord. This is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. I've never seen an angel. My fiance tells me she sees an angel. Now I see an angel. This must be something that God is doing. And so he just submits to that. Even though he's like, I have no idea where this is going, he just submits to it, and he takes her as his wife. He was usable. That's the thing. Joseph was usable in spite of the fact that he didn't know what God was doing. Oftentimes, we process what we think God wants to do through our own understanding. That's natural. Joseph had no understanding in this. He had no idea where this was going, and it was just far beyond anything that he could register, far beyond his pay grade, so to speak. So he just said, okay, God, I'm going to do what you are telling me to do through this angel. And even though she's pregnant, maybe she did commit adultery, I don't know, I'm going to trust the angel, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to move forward with your plans. But he was usable, and he was submitted to God. And it wasn't conditional on his circumstances. So that's a challenge for all of us, because we have stuff that happens in our lives all the time. I do, and I find myself either submitting or surrendering to what God wants to do, or just rebelling and doing my own thing. And we have to go back and go, God, even though I don't understand, I'm going to walk towards you, not away from you. I'm going to walk in your direction, not away from you. And then the last thing here that we see about Joseph from this text is that he was humble and he was self-sacrificing. He took Mary home as his wife, but he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. So this was interesting that he took her home as his wife, even though culture, even though the religious law would say, no, you shouldn't do that. She's pregnant before you've gotten married. And this is a different way of doing things. It's in line with God's will. It's in line with God's plan for him, but it's also a pathway of grace. It's a pathway of grace. And we see that through the Old Testament. A lot of people think that grace is introduced in the New Testament, but we see it all throughout the Old Testament. You see Hosea in the Old Testament. God told him, I want to use you as an example of my love for Israel. And so I want you to go marry a prostitute. So he goes and marries Hagar. And Hagar continues to return to prostitution. And Hosea continues to go and he pulls her out of the brothel and he brings her home as his wife and he cleans her up and he loves her and he takes care of her. And then she runs again and he goes and gets her again over and over and over. And God says, that's my love for you. It's all grace. She doesn't deserve it, but I love you. So I'm going to go get you and I'm going to pour my grace out over you. So this is a picture of that grace. And we see that, you know, played through in Jesus's ministry. The woman that's pulled out in the middle of an adulterous relationship and thrown in the square, and everybody's ready to accuse her and throw stones at her. And basically, Jesus says, "Hey, let him who has the most sin cast the let who has no sin cast the first stone." And they all walk away. So Jesus saw this and he knew this by his relationship between Joseph, his earthly father, and with Mary, that Joseph was humble. He was self-sacrificing. He wasn't all about getting his own way and doing what he thought he needed to do. And a lot of times, those of us who have a religious, spiritual, I'd say more of a religious background, it's all about by the book. And we don't process in the relationship piece with God. We don't process in the grace piece of our relationships. It's just all law, law, law. But there are times when grace, in the context of law, but grace. And so Joseph displayed that with Mary, and Jesus saw this. So there were consequences to that decision. There were consequences to Joseph marrying Mary. Most likely, and we see this in Scripture, I'll read a couple texts, those decisions by Joseph resulted in him, his wife Mary, and his children, namely Jesus, always being looked at as less than, even more than they probably already were. And you see this. There's two passages of Scripture that's interesting. Luke 3, verse 23, it says, "Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, or so it was thought, of Joseph." He was the son, or so it was thought, of Joseph. So there was always this, he's suspect. You know, basically, he's a bastard child, is what a lot of people believed about Jesus. And so when he's, you know, people are seeing him do stuff and they're like, "Who do you say you are? Aren't you Jesus from Nazareth?" You know, and then he gets into a dialogue and a debate with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, and it gets heated. It gets heated, and they tell him, they say, "Hey, well, we're not illegitimate children." I mean, that's what they were calling him. "You're a bastard. You think you're the son of God. We're the religious leaders. We're not illegitimate. You are." And so Jesus carried that, and Joseph carried that, and Mary carried that. And that's hard. You know, that can, outside of God's grace, that can really bury you in shame. That can bury you in guilt. That can really be a heavy weight. But Joseph basically died to self. He died to reputation. He died to what other people thought because he knew that he was in the middle of the will of God. You know, when you're telling people, "Well, Mary saw an angel and I saw an angel, and yeah, she was pregnant before we got married, but this was God's thing." What do you think everybody's reaction was? Yeah, right. Not only are you outside of the law, but you're crazy. But Joseph died to self. He didn't care about what the people around them thought. He only cared about what God thought. And he knew they were in the right. He knew it. He knew it. So here's the deal. In the end, even though Joseph was faithful, even though Joseph was committed, it's not really about Joseph's faithfulness. It's not really about his committed. It's not about him being a good law keeper. It's not about him being gracious towards Mary. It really is about God's faithfulness. It's about God's willingness to come to him, to come to Mary, to come to us and pour out his grace. And then anything good out of us is really a response of what God pours into us. It's about God's faithfulness, his humility, his sacrificial love towards all of us. The gospel, that's exactly what the gospel is. It's not about Joseph or us deciding to go to God and then God deciding to adopt us as his kids. It's about God deciding to come to us and then us responding to it. We just got out of a series in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, we've said this multiple times, but this is a picture of that. It says this, even though we were dead in our trespasses and transgressions and sins, even though we were dead, separated from God, completely lost, completely without hope, says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. So Joseph experienced that grace. That's why he was faithful to the law. That's why he responded to Mary with grace. And I love Ezekiel 36. I won't read it, but he says, Ezekiel in prophesying says, here's what's going to happen in this new covenant that God is coming. When Jesus comes in, he's going to say, I'm going to give you a new heart. I am going to give you new desires. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. It's God. It's what he does. He does that work. He gives us a new heart, and we respond to that. We're responsible, but God gives us the new heart. He gives us new desires. So as a result, Joseph was willing to do whatever the angel asked him to do. Joseph submitted to God. And in submitting to God, this was interesting, he submitted to Jesus. And we've heard, you know, the songs about Mary, the song, Mary, Did You Know? You know, here she's holding and staring into her baby's face and she's looking at the face of God. Well, Joseph did the same thing. And that's challenging. It's a little harder maybe for a man because Joseph is like the head of the household type thing, but here his son is the head over him. His son is the son of God. He's his son, but he's the son of God. And so Joseph submitted, even though he raised him, he was a father to him. That had to be tricky. He raised him as his child, but he also submitted to his authority. As an illustration that I thought of with this, Micah takes karate, and Colin does too. And so Matt and Heather and I are oftentimes watching them train for karate, and one of the instructors is, I guess he's about a high school guy. Is he in high school? I think his name's Asher. Asher's an incredible, he's a black belt, incredible instructor, but his whole family takes karate. So he's instructing his dad, his mom, and his sister. There may be more. Is that it? One more? And it's just so interesting to see them interact. The dad, you would never know that they were his parents, because they're submitting in humility to his instruction. And it reminded me a little bit about what Joseph does with Jesus, is he submits to his instruction. And that takes a ton of humility. That takes more than we're even capable of. That all comes from God. That's a gift from God. But it's the same with us. So I'll say this, whatever you're going through, because they went through shame, they went through embarrassment, they went through suffering, hurt, pain, and brokenness in those circumstances. And a lot of us can relate to those type of things. It may be a different situation, but Joseph can relate to that. Mary can relate to that, and Jesus certainly can relate to that. And, you know, the interesting thing is that that was no mistake. The way that that family was put together with God's intervention was no mistake. In fact, I wrote here, Joseph suffered a lot. He and Mary knew that an angel had come to them. But from everyone else's perspective, Mary had an affair, and Joseph didn't have the guts to divorce her and have her stoned to death. That's probably what everybody else was thinking. She was seen as unfaithful, and he was seen as a coward, and Jesus was seen as the result. That's their messed up family. But that's exactly the way that God wanted it. It was perfect because they all can relate. Jesus can relate to us. In our brokenness, in our messed up family situations, he identifies with us. Jesus is called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So even in our family relationships, as messed up as all that stuff is, there's comfort knowing that Jesus gets us. There's an ad campaign. Have you guys seen the Jesus Gets Us ad campaign? He does. He experienced all the stuff that we did, but he never sinned, which is good because the righteousness that he earned from living a perfect life, he gives to us, just gives it over and takes our sin. So he gives us his perfect righteousness, but he gets us. The application here in landing the plane, 3 points. When you're feeling overwhelmed, remember Joseph's story. Certainly think of Jesus, but remember Joseph felt that way too. Many of our stresses, I know this is the case for me, stresses, fears, insecurities, anxieties, they're all a result of our resistance to releasing control and just trusting God. That's where all that stuff comes from. Stay awake at night, can't sleep. The heart of it is, I'm hanging on to it. And so our challenge is we look at Joseph's situation and everything broke loose. Angels are talking to his fiance, an angel's talking to him. The Son of God is coming. It's been promised through the line of Judah 1,500 years earlier. And now it's happening. This is beyond your comprehension. Trust God. You try to hang on to that stuff. I try to hang on to that stuff, and it will drive you crazy. But it's a release. It's an open-handedness. It's not this. It's this. So turning it over to God. Joseph ended up being okay. He didn't go crazy because he released it. He gave it to God. The second point is when you're feeling desperate, that's a good thing. Desperation is hard. It is what the word says it is. It's desperate. It's a hard, you feel like you can't breathe. But it's a good thing when it drives you to your knees. It's a good thing when we say, God, I need you. It may be, God, I haven't talked to you in years. I've never talked to you. I'm angry at you, but now I'm desperate and there's nothing else that I can do. And so you're my only hope. And that's a great place to be. In fact, oftentimes God orchestrates our circumstances of life to bring us to that point. And it's by his grace. It's by his love that he does that. So a lot of people say, hey, God's not in control. He's the bad things that happen to us, that's outside of his good plans for us. No, the bad things are a part of his good plan for us because his good plan for us is to drive him to us, or to him, drive him to us. So last thing, when you're shamed, disgraced, made fun of, or unjustly judged, know that you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and ultimately of Joseph, Mary, and ultimately Jesus, and he will meet you in that place when you run to him. And he's probably got a purpose and a plan in all of it that's far bigger and better than anything you can imagine. And that's good news for us today. So let me pray and we'll continue. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the picture of Joseph. Thank you that we know that not only Jesus identifies with us, but his parents do too. Mary does. Joseph does. They experienced being overwhelmed. They experienced desperation. They experienced great need. And we do too. And it's not an empty vacuum. There's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. It's a light of the world, Jesus, who came for us. Came for sinners, not for good people. Came for sinners. And so we're grateful for that. Lord, would you press this truth into our hearts? Would you bless us through it? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.